Well, Thomas said you got all the time in the world, and I was about to lean over to him before service started and said, "You got all the time in the world." And so you might have all the time in the world before it's over. It's so good to see you tonight, and many of you are struggling with illnesses and sicknesses, and I'm glad that we see some faces that maybe we didn't see this morning, and hopefully this coming week people will start to heal up and get back in here. I want to read to you a passage in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 21, and I'm going to read it from the King James Version to start. It says this: "As the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise." Now, the New King James is there on the screen, and it reads a little different. But let me read it to you again from the King James Version and see if you can capture that in your mind. "As a refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise." All of us are called upon to make evaluations of people through the course of our lives. And so if you're a person who is in charge of hiring in your place of business, you're called to look at people and try to make an evaluation. You're called to look at them and try to figure out what kind of person they are and what kind of employee they might be. And you're trying to find a way to gauge whether they'll work in the position that you have open. And if you are maybe in the academic world and you're on a board that evaluates incoming students, you're called to look at students and see if they'll be able to achieve scholastically in your place of education. And you look at maybe the things that they were involved in high school and their attitudes, and you interview them, you look at the grades, of course, and you try to make an evaluation of them. If you're dating, man, you're trying to evaluate people at the highest level. You're trying to figure out if this is a person you can live with for the next 50, 60 years, or whether you kill each other in the process. And so you're looking at the qualities and characteristics, and I tell people, look at the work ethic. Look at whether they love Jesus like you love Jesus. Look at whether they're a happy person, because again, if they can marry you, they're not, marrying you isn't the cure for their unhappiness. And look at some of those things, but try to make an evaluation of who they are. And so in the course of our life, we are trying to evaluate people and situations. And one of the ways that we evaluate individuals is really through modern proverbs. And so, for instance, one proverb that we use in our culture a lot of times is we'll say a person's character is based on what they would do when nobody's looking, or a person's character is based on what they would do if they were sure they'd never get caught. And so what we're saying is when we're trying to evaluate a person and look at their character, try to think about what they would do if they were sure they'd never get caught. Think about what kind of person they are in their private life. Try to figure out what they are when nobody's looking, because that's really a great test of who they really are deep down. Sometimes we'll say a person's character is who they are at their roots. And I take it that that means a lot of different things, but one thing that it means is that as a tree with a large root system is able to withstand storms, really the withstanding of the storms is a test of the strength. So when you look at a person, look at them in the storms of life. See what they've been through. Have they been through anything difficult? Have they been through gut-wrenching times? And how did they do in the most difficult places of life? That tells you really how strong they are at the roots. My dad had a friend, and he was dating this girl, and she liked him and thought that he would probably make a good husband, but she wasn't absolutely sure till she saw him in a storm. He had this car that he loved, I mean, he waxed that thing. He kept it looking spotless. My car gets, you know, washed twice a year. His got washed twice a week, man. It was his pride and joy. And they were out on a date, and somebody ran into them at a stoplight and crushed the back of that car. And she said, right now, I'm going to find out what kind of man he is. Guys, his baby just got destroyed or got crushed, I don't know if it was totaled, but it was close to being totaled. And he got out of the car and went back and talked to this lady. It's always a lady running you. No, I'm just, talked to this woman who had just plowed into him. And he was the nicest Christian gentleman, wanted to see if she was okay, how she was doing. And in that moment, she made up her mind, I'm going to marry that guy. That's my kind of guy. If he responds that way when his car gets taken out, he'll never get mad at me, very seriously. Nothing could be worse than that car, and he'll treat me well. And so, again, we sometimes say your character is who you are at your roots. If you've been through a storm, that's a good test of who you are. Sometimes we'll say you don't know a person until you've given them power. Give a person power, give a person authority, and you'll find out in great detail who and what kind of person that is. So we have our proverbs when we try to evaluate people that sort of guide us in sizing up a person. And the Hebrews did too. And so, for instance, the proverb that we read is a Hebrew proverb that is given as an aid to people when they're evaluating others. And again, it says this. If you want to evaluate a person, here's a good way. It says, as the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Now, let's try to break that down. The first part is sort of what we can, I think, easily work out. He says, as the silver is to the refining pot or the smelting pot, and so, as I understand it, they would put silver in this pot. They would get the heat high enough, and it would burn away anything that wasn't silver. And what you would have would be pure silver. So the refining pot sort of tested what was pure and what wasn't. And then he says, and the furnace for gold, or gold in the furnace. Again, gold would be put in a furnace, usually a brick or stone furnace. It would be heated up, and whatever wasn't gold would be burned up, and what you would be left with was pure gold. And so again, the furnace would test the purity of the gold. So as the silver and the pot, as the gold and the furnace, the Bible says, so is a man to praise. So it's saying, if you want to see what a person is like, if you really want to gauge the character of a person, see how they are with praise. Now, you say, well, that makes sense. I get that. But then as I think about it, and particularly as you read other translations, it seems clear, but then again, it doesn't seem clear, because what does it mean that a man or a woman, their character is tested by praise. It's praise. And translators have added words to this verse to try to clarify what it means. The King James has it right. So a man is to his praise, period. It's sort of obscure. But again, translators have added. So for instance, the old NIV reads like this, just like that. There we go. It says, the crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but people are tested by the praise they receive. The praise he receives. In other words, again, the translator is saying what the Bible is getting at is that our character is tested by the praise that we're given, by the collective opinion of people. The praise that we receive is a good indication of the kind of person that you and I are. Or the criticism we receive is also a good indication of the kind of people that we are. Now, in America, we don't like that. We don't like the fact that the opinions of others really are a fair analysis of who we are. I was in the kitchen the other day, and Maria, our three-year-old, has fallen in love with Sleeping Beauty. And she's probably watched that movie 30 times in 60 days. And so that movie's on quite frequently in our house, and the songs get embedded in her mind. They get embedded in my mind. So I was in the kitchen, and I was singing one of the songs, and I was singing, let's see, I know you, I walked with you once upon a dream. I know you, the gleam in your eye is so familiar to me. And she, I looked, and she had a scowl on her face, and I just assumed that it was the quality of the singing she heard coming out of my mouth. She was looking at me, at which is perfectly understandable. But I kept singing, and if I know you, I know what you'll do. And she finally said, "You not say that. You not know me." Sorry. Thought I was singing the song to her that I knew her, and she was telling me, "You don't know anything about me." And that's what a redhead, God help the guy who falls in love with that one. But there's a part of us that wants to say to people, "You don't know me," like a 1950s Indian in a movie, you know, a movie in a 1950s movie. "You don't know me." We want to tell people that, we want to say, "God knows my heart. You don't know me." I mean, a reputation is what people think you are, but your character is what God knows you are, or knows I am, or another inaccurate English rendering of that. We want to say that. But really, if you think about it, and it is true that God knows far more about us than anybody can know. God knows us to the depths. God looks on the heart, but man looks on the outer appearance, Samuel said. That's true, but in another sense, the collective praise that we receive is a good indication of our character. I mean, that's why when you're trying to hire somebody, what do you ask them to give you? References. Give us some references. Because there is a sense in which if I can talk to several people who know you, if I ask the right questions, I think that I can come up with a fairly good representation of who you are. And again, if you're applying to college, you ask for academic references. And the idea is if I can talk to enough of the people who have taught you, if I can talk to your coaches, if I can talk to your grade school teachers, if I can talk to your pastor, if I can talk to some of these people, if I can put it all together, put all the praise that is said about you together, I can come up with a fair representation of who you really are in your character. So again, the NIV says, a man or woman is known by the praise they receive. Now, other translators disagree, however. And the translator of the New Living Translation says, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. Notice NIV says a man is tested by the praise he receives. But the New Living says, yeah, but a person's character is also revealed in how they respond to being praised. Now, work that out. And I think there's truth to that. Because how we respond to being praised says something about our humility and our gratitude. And humility and gratitude are really central to good character. I mean, if you're praised, it's a test to pride. And immediately when a person receives praise, you get a good indication of whether they have a good level of humility or not, or whether they're really a proud person. And if you praise them and they say, yeah, you're right, I did it all myself and I didn't need anybody, you get an ideal of the arrogance of this person. And Paul said that humility is so important. And when you think of character in 1 Timothy chapter 3:6, that you ought not make a person a bishop if they're a novice, if they're young, because if you put a young, inexperienced Christian in a position of power in the church, that they will be tempted to be puffed up in pride because of recognition that they receive, and they'll fall into the snare of the devil. They'll fall into temptation because pride is a way that Satan brings us down. Pride comes before a fall. And so the way that a person receives praise is an indication of their arrogance or their conversely humility, but it also reveals their level of gratitude. And nothing reveals your character more than your gratitude. I mean, in Romans chapter 1, Paul gives this list of gruesome sins that the pagans have fallen into. He talks about how they burned in lust one to another, and they worshiped the creation instead of the Creator. And he lists a long list of all the vile and gruesome sins that people commit. And then about verse 20, I think it is, Paul says, and they weren't grateful. And you read that and you say, well, that seems out of place. I mean, here you got murderings, wickedness, evil, idolatry, and oh yeah, they're not grateful. And you think, well, Paul, you sort of, that gratitude needs to be on a list of the smaller sins. Put that over there. Don't stick it with all the big, deep, dark sins. But if you think about it, gratitude is at the root of almost every other sin. And so when a person receives praise, it gives them the ability to say, I have been gifted, but it's a gift that has been given to me, and I'm just grateful that I could serve. I'm grateful that the Lord gave me what I have. I agree with Paul. What do we have that we have not received? 1 Corinthians 4:7. And anything good about me that you see, it's only something I've received, and I'm just grateful for God for that. And again, ingratitude is at the root of all the things that are blights to character. I mean, to think about it, what's plagiarism? Plagiarism is ingratitude. If you write a paper and you quote somebody, you're supposed to put a little token of gratitude at the end of your paper called a footnote. You're supposed to say, no, I didn't get that from myself. I didn't come up with that. I'm grateful for this guy who gave it to me, and it was on page 236 of his book. Why are we so hard on spies? Why do spies get the death penalty? If you're a citizen and you give information that aids the enemy, that's a death penalty for you. Why is treason so dark? Why is it such a dark deed among us? Because at the root, it's ingratitude. You grew up in this nation. You've received the benefits of this nation. You've accomplished stuff because you were born in a land of opportunity. And you're so ungrateful, you turn your back on it and you help its enemy. At the root of treason's ingratitude. Why is it that when you see a rebellious, dishonoring child, you look at that child and you say, what awful character. Holy cow, look at the way they treat their parents. That's an awful little monster. You don't say that, but you think about saying it. Why? Because their ingratitude and their dishonor, or their dishonor is ingratitude. Here's this little punk, or this big punk living in his parents' basement. And his parent raised him. changed his stinky diapers, clothed them, worked so that he could have a better life or she could have a better life. And here they are talking to them like they're a dog. What is that? At the root of all of that is ingratitude. Why is it that if a person who is a friend of yours turns on you and they stab you in the back, why does it hurt so bad? And why is it so hard when people are talking about how great they are for you not to just say, they're a terrible person? You don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because when they stab you in the back, it's ingratitude. We've done so much for each other. I've had your back. You've had my back. We've been there. And this stabbing in the back is like the ultimate act of ingratitude towards me. All that we've done for each other, for all I've done for you. See, nothing speaks of your character more than gratitude. A person of great character, they're loyal to their friends because they have gratitude for what their friends have done. They have loyalty to their parents. They honor their parents. Their parents are never seen begging for bread. Why? Because they have gratitude for the way their parents care for them. And they respond, out of their gratitude comes honor. They love America. They're patriotic. Why? Because with all of the things that are wrong in America, America's been good to me. It's been a land of opportunity for me. I've been blessed because I was born in America. And I'm not going to go around and run it down and fight against it. I'm grateful for what it's done for me. You have that towards God. I worship, I praise Him, I honor Him above all because I have gratitude for what He's done for me. And so, again, the way that we respond to praise, people praise us, it ought to trigger gratitude in us. People praise us, we ought to say, you know what? I got nothing again that I haven't received. God's been good to me. People have been good to me. I didn't get here by myself. I had good parents. I had people that supported me. Anything good I've got has been taught to me. When I was born, I didn't know anything but how to cry. Anything that I know, people have invested into my life. And it allows us to show the ultimate act of character, which is gratitude. Maybe that's what the verse is saying. Maybe it's not. But even if that verse isn't saying it, other verses say that. All right. So, again, the NIV says a person is known by the collective praise they receive. The New Living Translation says a person is known by the way they respond to praise. Their character is demonstrated. But other versions disagree with that. Look at what the English Standard Version says. It says, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, but a man is tested by his praise. The Holman Bible, Holman Standard, concurs. It says this, a crucible for silver and a smelter for gold and a man for the words of his praise. In other words, the NIV says that a man is known by the collective praise he receives. The New Living Translation says a man is known by how he responds to praise. The English Standard Version says a man is known by how he praises or that he praises. He's known by his praise. And there's truth to that. I mean, a man's character, a woman's character is revealed in their willingness to praise. I mean, it says something about a person who can't give another person a compliment. It says something about a person who, if there are 9 things right and 1 thing wrong, they zero in on the 1 thing and they beat it to death. It says something about an individual when they see others and they're doing well. There's a lot that they're doing right, but there's something here or there that they're doing wrong, and they pounce on what they're doing wrong. It says something about the kind of person they are. It speaks to inferiority. It speaks to envy. Usually people who do that, there's an inferiority there, and the only way they can feel good about themselves is finding out and pointing out the bad in other people. And in a strange way, as they push others down, it makes them feel better about themselves. That says something about the kind of person that they are. There are people, saying goes, they can see more dirt through a keyhole than most people can an open door. And that says something about who they are. It says something about a parent's character. When they can't look at a child and say, "You're the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what my life would be like if you didn't come. One of the greatest days of my life was the day that you were born. And all my accomplishments, any titles that I have, anything that I've accumulated, it's nothing compared to you. I'd give them all away in a minute just to have you. That's what I think about you, son. That's what I think about you, daughter." It says something about the character of a parent who says that. But it also says something about the character of a parent who can't give that to their children. So a person, again, is known by the collection of praise that is said about them. They are known by the way they respond to praise. They are also known by their willingness to praise. But fourthly, and this is it, they are also known by what they praise. Look at the old Amplified version here. It says, "As a refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, it brings forth all the impurities of the metal, so let a man be in his trial of praise, ridding himself of all that is base and insincere. For a man is judged by what he praises and of what he boasts." A man is known by what he praises. I had a professor named Haddon Robinson who was on a plane. He was flying from Boston to Denver. And he said he sat down next to a guy and they started to talk. And Robinson said, I asked him, "What do you do when you don't have anything else to do?" And the man said, "You mean, do I have a hobby?" And Robinson said, "Well, I guess that's what I mean." And the man says, "Yeah, I have a hobby." And Robin says, "Oh, what's your hobby?" And the guy said, "Pornography." And Robinson said, "Oh, tell me about that." He said, "Well, you know, pornography is a fascinating thing." He said, "You know, they have uncovered pornography when they were digging in Pompeii. Under all that rubble, years into the B.C. era, they found pornography," and he said, "It's a fascinating thing." He said, "Now, I'm not into the bad pornography. I'm into the good pornography." And so he says, "So I've got a collection of videos, and I've got records of pornography, and I've got pictures." He said, "But it's a very fascinating thing." And Robinson said, as he talked about the joys of his hobby of pornography, he said, "He showed me the kind of man he was." He said, "He didn't tell me about his hobby. He told me about who he was as a person." A man, a woman, is known by what they praise. You know what you and I praise? It really reveals the kind of person we would like to be. Think about it. When I was a kid, I praised athletes. If you were to sit down and talk to me very long, I'd tell you I had two great athletes. I like Dan Marino, but I also liked a guy most people don't know about because he was only good for about 4 years in baseball. His name was Mike Scott. And I could tell you all the statistics. Even now, I can tell you I haven't looked at a baseball card of Mike Scott in 20 years, but he had a 2.22 ERA in 1986. He went 18-10, and the next year he went 16-13. After that, he went 20-10, and the year after that, he went 14-8. I was fascinated with Mike Scott and pitching, and that's who I would praise, because you know what? More than anything else, I wanted to be a baseball pitcher. And as I would praise these athletes, You would have been right if you would have looked at me and said, Nathan, it sounds like you want to be an athlete. And that would have been true because what I was praising was an indication of what I wanted to become. Later in my teens, I just idolized my brother, 11 years older than me. And, you know, he lived the kind of life that I wanted to live. And part of my conversion when I was 17 was God telling me, I don't want you to live like your brother. I've got something else for you. And my brother has since come to Christ. So I'm not putting that down. But in his 20s, I mean, he seemed to have everything that me as a 14, 15-year-old wanted to have. He had a nice car. He had girls all over the place. He was just living the life. And if you would have listened to me praise my brother and talk, you wouldn't have to talk to me long before I would tell you about my brother and what he did, and he did this and he did that, and I saw him over. And you would have looked at me, and if you would have said, boy, the way you praise your brother, it sounds like you want to be like your brother someday. And you would have been right. What you praise is oftentimes a picture of who you want to become. It's a picture of who you are. And that's why, by the way, the Bible says you ought to praise God. You ought to praise God. We don't praise God because God's got a big ego. And he needs our praise because he's got an inferiority complex and God needs to be built up. That's not why we praise God. We don't praise God because he's got a gun to our head, and if we don't praise him, he might rain down terror on us. The reason you and I ought to praise God is because as we praise God, subconsciously, it's part of our being formed into his image. We become what we praise. And so we ought to praise God. We ought to praise him in the morning. We ought to praise him in the evening. We ought to praise him when things are going bad and when things are going poorly. The Bible says in Psalm 150, Thomas mentioned it. It said, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. So you're going to dance in heaven. You are. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Listen to me. As we praise God, we are becoming like God. As we set our mind on him and as we become infatuated with him, we praise him. And as we praise him, we are becoming like the thing that we praise. And so I don't know where you fall on this passage. A man is known by his praise. The fire reveals silver. The fire reveals gold. So praise reveals a man. Praise reveals a woman. We're revealed in the praise we receive, the way we receive the praise, and the praise we give. But I think even more than all of those, we are revealed in the things that we praise. Praise the Father. Praise the Son, praise the Holy Ghost. Will you stand with me?